Our message this morning is found in Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 56. Mark 6, 45 through 56. Let's pray. God, you are amazing. God, that you decided to seek us out, even when we are lost, God. And God, I pray this morning that you would just speak to us, God, that you would encourage us, God, that you would build us up, God. God, that you would have a word for us that penetrates the very soul of our heart, our very soul, our very heart, God. And God, I pray, God, that we would hear your voice, God. Not only that we hear it, but God, that we will obey it and we would continue in obedience. So, God, speak to us. God, move over us. Touch each and every one of us, God. And God, I pray that I communicate your word clearly. And God, that we would hear your message. God, that any distraction, anything that would pull our hearts, pull our minds away, oh God. God, that you would take that away. God, I pray that you just touch each and every one of us now. In Jesus' name. I've entitled the message, God Reveals Himself in the Storm. Mark 6:45 through 56. A turbulent wind is blowing across our world. And many of us find ourselves praying that God will stop the storm that we are in. Someone said that faith is like film for a camera. It's only developed in the dark. Do you find it hard to grow in the dark? But that's when we learn to trust the Lord. Not only a very shallow theology says that if we're in the will of God, we will always sail smoothly on the sea of life, that God will stop all of our storms, and that we will have no tragedies or disappointment. I hate to break it to you, but not only is that bad theology, it's just not true. Some have called the Sea of Galilee one of the most beautiful bodies of water in the world. When you look at pictures, you have the rolling hills of Galilee and they're coming down to the sea, and it is beautiful. The old rabbis used to say that God created all the other seas. Then he created Galilee just for himself. It's a very peaceful and serene scene. Much of Jesus' ministry takes place there. But picking up right off of Mark 6, when Jesus feeds 5,000 men, the disciples begin their day in a victory. Large crowds of men, women, and children gathered to hear their master, the Lord Jesus. That day, the miracle called the feeding of the 5,000 happened. And that's an underestimate because it's 5,000 was just the number of men present. Then at the close of the day, Jesus sends his disciples on ahead across Galilee while he stays behind in a secluded spot to pray. Excited by the day's events, the disciples must have climbed into the boat with satisfaction and confidence, flying high. And then it happened. The wind began to rise, clouds darkened the moon, an angry gale beat the sea with its fists. The waves rose, slapping the disciples in the face. What had been a quiet as a mill pond earlier had turned dangerous on the Sea of Galilee. Though some of these disciples were seasoned fishermen, they knew how to navigate the Sea of Galilee. They were afraid. They were so far away from the shore, they couldn't turn around, they couldn't swim. And Jesus was somewhere back on land. The waves are too rough, and some began to think that they would sink or possibly drown. So they thought, Jesus has forsaken us. Are you in a storm right now? Maybe things that you thought were as solid as a rock are beginning to fall apart. and you're completely blindsided. Maybe things are fine right now and there's no crisis in your life. And if that's your situation today, I praise God for that. Enjoy the season of peace. We should enjoy the good times in our lives. But as I have learned, walking with Jesus, that we all have storms. And sooner or later, you are going to find yourself in one. In this world, we will encounter tribulation. Jesus says as much. But today, it seems like it's growing more, not less intense. We ask, where's Jesus? But he has overcome the world, he says. And that's what he's telling you and me. The spiritual barometer of our time is falling worldwide. And all of us who can read the signs know a storm is gathering, but soon our Lord, who has been on the mountain of his glory, praying for us, is going to rise from his throne. He'll come in his glory, walking on water will be child's play at that point. He'll come stepping on the clouds. But before that will come, we're going to experience a series of storms that's meant to separate us from God, the God who reveals himself to us. Our first point this morning is beware the crowds. They misunderstand Jesus. Verse 45. Okay, immediately. What they're saying is right after the feeding of the 5,000, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side to Bethsaida while he himself was sending the crowd away. And after bidding them farewell, he left for a mountain to pray. See, I think Jesus, so you had this crowd of a large amount of people. You know, we don't know how large it is. We know it's well over 5,000, maybe closer to 10. And this fervor has grown, okay? These people, they're not coming because they want to worship Jesus. They're not coming because they want to become disciples of Jesus. They're showing up because they want to see the miracles. They're showing up because they're hoping that they can convince Jesus to lead them into a revolt against the Romans. And so that they show up, and then this fervor is going on, and it's very likely that the disciples got caught up into this. You know, they've heard his teaching, they've heard his preaching, they've had intimate times with him, but when the crowds show up, they're getting caught up. Oh, maybe they're right. Maybe we can drive the Romans out, that we can take up the sword. He'll be a David to us. You know, he will show up and, you know, he will be a deliverer. And the disciples get caught up in this. So Jesus, knowing this, he sends them away. He says, hey, go away. Go on ahead of me, okay? And the disciples don't really grasp what's gone. They don't really grasp what's going on here. And they didn't really grasp what went on at the feeding of the 5,000. So he sends them on ahead of him. And they get in the boat and they go away. And then he bids the crowd farewell. Mark is very brief. He doesn't tell us the whole story. We don't know what Jesus told the crowds, but he might have told them something like, hey, this isn't what God has, okay? I am not here to start a revolt. I'm not here to fight against the Romans. Because what Jesus is there to do is he's there to cause them to come into right relationship with God, okay? But that's not what they showed up for. They didn't show up to have a relationship, they didn't show up to be a disciple. They came with a false understanding of who Jesus is. So beware of false understandings of Jesus. Beware of bad theology surrounding Jesus. We look at our world today, and people will win awards, okay? And then they'll praise God, And then they'll go do all kinds of ungodly things right afterwards. And they did all kinds of ungodly things. We like God when we win things, okay? We like God when it seems like he's going to get us out of stuff or it benefits us, but we don't really want to come. We don't want to be disciples. We don't want to be followers. We don't want to give up things in our lives to follow him. But the crowds would tell us, oh, you can follow Jesus and still do this over here, or you can follow Jesus and continue to be this way. And the crowd say, oh, I'm a Christian too, but their life doesn't bear it out. It's like watching a bad cop. They might be a cop, but you know that if they're a bad cop and they're abusing people and they're taking advantage of the system and they're using their authority and their position, you say, no, they are not the epitome of what a cop is supposed to do. They may be a cop and title and a name and position, but they don't epitomize what it's supposed to be. That they're to protect, they're there to serve, they're to ensure that our community is safe. And in the same way, we see people that claim the name of Christ, they might even go to church. They might even give tithe and offering, but they don't epitomize what Christ is. They don't live that out. Beware of people like that, because what they'll do is they're going to poison your mind. They're going to poison your heart. They are going to lead you astray. They're going to have you build a theology that is false and have you create a narrative around yourself that you think you're serving God. And really what you're doing is you're serving yourself and you're serving your flesh. So beware of the crowds. They misunderstand Jesus. Here's the important thing, okay? Second point this morning, God reveals himself in the midst of the storm, okay? We don't like that. We don't want to be in storms, okay? And I'm talking about metaphorical storms. We probably don't like being out in physical storms either, okay? But we don't like those metaphorical storms that when chaos comes in our life, okay? Now, let's be honest. Sometimes chaos and bad things happen in our life because we make bad decisions and bad choices, and what takes place is bad things. And a lot of times what we want to do is we want to pray and we want God to get us out of our bad decisions and our bad choices. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm saying there's times when you're serving God. You're doing the things. The disciples did what they were supposed to. They went on, okay? They helped feed the 5,000. They went on just like Jesus, and now they find themselves in a storm. So what I'm saying, there's times when you're going to be serving God. You're going to be spending time in prayer. You're going to be reading your Bible, and storms are going to come. You're going to find yourself in chaos, that life will be in tension. And I'm telling you that God is going to use that. So don't be so quick to say, oh, God, get me out of this. God, you don't want to be there. But in that, God is revealing himself, who he is, and something about his nature, and he might be trying to do something in your life. Verse 47 says, when it was evening, the disciples were in the boat in the middle of the sea, and he was all alone on land. Jesus went and prayed, okay? But here now we find the disciples, they're out, okay? In the middle of the sea, they're paddling, okay? Okay, from where they were to get across the Sea of Galilee, even in rough waters, it would take, okay? In rough waters, it could take 6 to 8 hours to get across. Okay, now if it was good waters, exponentially shorter time. And these are seasoned fishermen; they know how to navigate the sea. Okay, and so, but here they find them. They're out in the middle. They're all alone, and now they're in rough waters. Now, look at verse 48. Says, seeing them straining at their oars, for the wind was against them at about the fourth watch of the night, and he came walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. Okay, this is the fourth watch of night, which is that's actually a Roman term. The Romans have four watches in the middle of the night, okay? Jews only have three watches. But Mark is probably writing to a Roman audience, so he's going to use terms and he's going to use phrases that the Romans will understand, because if you don't understand what he's saying, then it doesn't make sense. So it says the fourth watch of night. So you're probably looking at somewhere about 3, 4 in the morning, okay? Maybe even 5. But Jesus is walking on the water. And what's interesting, like God, so if you think back to the Exodus, Moses encounters God. Okay? And in the early part of Exodus, it says that the Lord was going to pass before Moses, okay? And in the same way, Jesus is passing before the disciples. But when God passes before Moses, he's just not casually coming by. He's passing before him so that he can reveal himself to Moses. In the same way, Jesus is passing the disciples by, not to just walk by and ignore them. He's passing by so he can reveal himself to them. So just as God reveals himself to Moses at Sinai, Jesus reveals himself to disciples on the sea. What I'm telling you is that Jesus caused a storm to arise because he needed to show the disciples, he needed them to experience something to understand who he was. Okay. Now imagine they get out on the sea. We don't know how quickly the storm came up, but we can imagine it's going on for a while. This isn't something that's been they've been wrestling with for 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. They've probably been going at this for an hour or two, maybe even longer, and they're struggling. And the oars, the water splashing in the boat, is splashing in their face. And now they are in an intense situation of chaos. And a lot of times when we start going through these storms, it is going to be intense. It's going to feel like we are drowning, that we can't do, like we just don't know what to do. And then we're struggling. And they're so distraught, okay? They're so focused on what's going on. And it's so intense, okay? Verse 49, it says, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and they cried out. They don't see it as Jesus. They see it as a ghost. So they're going in their mind, they're going from the frying pan and into the fire. They're like, oh my gosh, we're out here and we're perishing. Now a ghost shows up. See, they heard the crowds. They were gathered around the crowds and they missed who Jesus was. They let that false understanding, that false narrative, where they're misunderstanding Jesus. And now Jesus shows up. He's walking on the water. And he begins to reveal himself to them. Verse 50, for they all saw him and they were terrified, but immediately he spoke with them and he said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Okay? What's interesting, you don't see it here in English with NASB, but what Jesus actually says, he says, take courage, it is I am. Do not be afraid. When Moses is on Sinai and he asked, he said, who shall I say sent me? He said, I am sent you. I am the one. I am the one who exists. I am the one who creates. And so they know, okay? Any Jew would know that when he says, I am, it's a declaration that he is God. So what he's saying is, you thought it was some type of ghost, some type of specter. He says, but what I need to tell you is your misunderstanding. God has showed up in the midst of your storm. Take courage. Do not be afraid. Sometimes we have to experience trouble so that we can come to a place where we can hear from God. Oh, I know we don't like to hear that. I know we want to hear that. Oh, just praise God, just worship Him. We can just praise our way out of situations. I hear a lot of that preaching. And there's times that I'm just telling you, there's times that we can praise God and it will fix things, okay? But there's just situations that we can't praise our way out. We can't give our way out. There's nothing that we can do to get out. We need God to show up and intervene in our situation to change things. But not as He's showing up just to intervene. He's trying to teach us something in the process. Teach us something about Him. Teach us something about us. He wants us to grow in a deeper relationship that we might know Him, that we might serve Him, that we might draw closer to Him. He wants to make disciples. Jesus is, He's not concerned about the crowd. Okay? Jesus, everywhere Jesus goes, there's crowds, right? And Jesus ministers, He meets their needs, but He knows that they're not there for the right reason. He knows that they're not there to worship Him, to follow Him, to seek Him. They're just there for power. They're there to get out of it what they can. Verse 51, then they got out of the boat. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. Let God amaze you, okay? When you get into that season, it seems like it's a struggle, like you're going through. The right answer is God. Don't take it away. That's not it. God, what are you trying to show me? Okay. Now, if you've caused this situation, if you've caused this storm because of certain life choices or certain decisions, then you need to say, God, hey, you need to ask forgiveness. You need to seek God. Okay. But when you're in this, say, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to reveal about Jesus? Why, what are you doing? Are you trying to draw me closer? See, we as human beings, we do our best, okay? We do amazing things when pressure comes, when we get into tough situations, okay? You'll find people who do amazing things when they get into situations when it seems hopeless, it seems dark. People will perform amazing things because it brings out the best in us. Tension and pressure. You can't have diamonds unless there's pressure. You can't run a marathon and win a marathon unless you run 26.2 miles. And in that time, you're going to feel muscle cramps. You're going to feel your lungs burn. You're going to feel there's going to be pressure and you're going to want to quit. But let God amaze you, okay? Now, this is important. Look what verse 52 says here, okay? For they, okay, talking about the disciples, not talking about the crowds, had not gained insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Okay, let's stop here. You just watched your teacher, your master, take five fish. In two loaves, and he fed over almost 10,000 people, we're guessing. And how do you not get who he is at that point? They might think he's someone, and so I don't think he's saying they're completely clueless, okay? They can't be completely clueless, but I don't think they really get that he's God in the flesh. They don't really get what his purpose is, okay? They let the crowd, the noise of the crowds influence them. And here now, they have to go out on the sea and they have to experience this darkness. They have to experience this storm that they might actually know who he is. Here's a third point this morning. People will experience the power of God but not follow Jesus. Okay? That sounds maybe like a bit like how can you experience the power of God but not follow Jesus? But that's exactly what the crowds did, okay? That's exactly what we do sometimes. There are times when God will move in our lives, God will touch us, God will do amazing things, And yet we'll keep doing the same thing. We won't change. We'll just keep doing that same old thing. Verse 53, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and they moored to the shore. And when he got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. And they ran about the whole country, began to carry their here and there on their pallets those who were sick to the place where he was. And whenever he entered villages or cities or a countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. As many as touched it were they were being cured. They showed up because they wanted power. They showed up because they wanted something. But what they didn't want, they didn't really want to follow Jesus. Okay. They just wanted to, they wanted him to fix their problems, but not actually change their lives. And don't ever fall into that trap where you want Jesus to fix your problems, but not transform your life. Because that's what he came to do. He came to disclose the Father to us that we might be in right relationship. He came to restore humanity's relationship with God. Jesus heals, but the crowds don't really understand who he is. They just use him. He's just a tool. He's just like a rabbit's foot, some type of lucky charm, something that they can experience, but they don't want to be transformed. Jesus wants to touch our hearts, our minds, and our bodies, so we will follow him. Jesus feeds the 5,000 so that they might follow him. Okay? Jesus heals people that they might follow him. But they don't get it. We don't get it sometimes. We want to do our own thing. We just want God to solve our problems, take away the issues, make things better, but we don't want him to transform us because sometimes we like our sin. We like the situations we are in more than what we do than God being in control of our life. Some of us, we're control freaks and we want to control our life instead of letting God have his way in our lives. But I'm telling you, when God is in control, when God is Lord of your life, that the situation, your life will be the best life that it can be. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Just because you don't live in a castle or a mansion and you have millions of dollars in your bank account, that's not a best life. That's the best life according to the world. Your best life is living for Jesus and being faithful. Millions of dollars doesn't buy you a place in eternity. It cannot be bought, except by the blood of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. Here's the thing. Surround yourself with Jesus followers. Okay? Get away from the crowds. Okay? It's one thing if you're going to go witness and do ministry, but beware the crowds. They will lead us astray. We need to surround ourselves with Jesus followers. People who are excited about Jesus, people who are praying, people that will spur you on and encourage you and call you out, say, hey, you're not living right now. Here's our big idea this morning. God reveals himself in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our troubles. God reveals himself to us. We don't like it. But there's times that God will use those situations, that pressure, those things that seem to weigh on us. And God is still speaking. That yet small voice that encourages us, that strengthens us. God reveals himself in our storms. So here's the thing. Let God speak to you. Okay? And make sure that you hear him. And not only do you hear him, that you be obedient to the voice of God. A lot of us hear the voice of God, but then we don't do what God asks us to do. We know that God is wanting us to do something. You know, maybe it's we're reading our Bible and something speaks to us. Maybe we're having prayer time and we hear that voice of God. Or we just, there's something that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, knowing that we're supposed to do something different, and we don't do it. Let God speak to you. But then be obedient, hear them, and live, do it, live it out. Okay? Here's the other thing. Beware the crowds. Beware the crowds. Okay? They have bad theology. They have a bad understanding. And when you surround yourself with the crowds, they will lead you astray. Surround yourself with Jesus followers. Okay? Surround yourself with Jesus because they are going to encourage you. God reveals himself in the midst of our storms. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I just thank you and I praise you that God, even in the midst of our storms, in the midst of chaos, when we are scared, when it feels like we can't do no more, but God, it is in those times that you speak to us, that you strengthen us. God, that you remind us of who you are. So God, I pray that we hear your voice in those times. And God, I pray that we put the noise, the lies, the deceit, the misunderstanding of the crowds. God, we want to encounter you, not the crowds. We want to follow you, not the crowds. So God, I pray that you just speak to us now. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, headaches. But here. There.
Do I have to do it on the
No, all you had to do is hit that.
always hit the mouse?
Yeah. I got
Where's
there's
your
a
mouse at?
file here as well.
There's no mouse, Michael. Where's your mouse at?
Right here.
Oh, why do you have it so small?
Again. Back one. No. Here. Well, just press here. Close out of here.
Close this too.
No, hit record.